I want to bring this challenge this morning to us about what we can do in order to get the gospel out more than maybe what we are doing currently. And I want this to be an encouragement to us, but also an exhortation that the gospel is not going to go out by those people who don't know the gospel. The gospel is not going to go out by people who are not firm believers in their faith, who are maybe indifferent believers or weak believers. The gospel's not going to get out that way for the most part. It can. God can use unusual ways. I'm not saying that. But for the most part, the world, first of all, is not going to give the gospel. They could care less about the gospel. Whose responsibility is it then to give the gospel? If it's not the world, and if it's not the immature believer or the bulk of the church, to be honest, who's left? Are we committed to, and the title of my message is Being the One. And I know some of you might be familiar with Be the One, and I'm not really talking about the mentorship program that's in our schools locally, which Abby's a part of and has a mentor. She had a lovely Christian mentor the last couple of years. She didn't pass away, but she couldn't do it this year, which is very sad because she's such a good impact on Abigail. But it's the mentorship program in Linden and Linden Christian, a couple of different schools here. I did take that, but I had come up with this title because each of us are just one person. But what can one person do to impact the world? Or impact one other person? I think sometimes we think that we have to go out and we have to blow the tops off the houses and preaching the gospel and just pounding the doors and whatever, the walls, and we're going to blow the top off and we're going to change the world. You're never going to change the world with that attitude, number one. But number two, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need prayer, number three. And number four, you need somebody else to talk to. I mean, you can talk to the walls. The walls aren't going to be saved. And you can practice, and maybe we should, and all of that. I mean, I remember Shirley wanted to teach a class, and she wanted us to practice giving the gospel. And that's good if you want to practice. But ultimately, you have to talk. And I think the first point that I wanted to bring out today is believe in the power of the One. And the One is Jesus Christ. Romans 1, verse 16, we know the verse. Romans 1, 16, we have it probably memorized or at least paraphrased in our mind. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. I'm going to tell you today, the gospel is powerful. Because the gospel changes lives. I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what other people outside there tell me. I know because I've been changed and what the gospel has done in my life. And I've witnessed other people's lives being changed by the power of the gospel. The gospel changed your life and it changed mine. And we all started in the same place, friends. We all started being dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2. We were all a part of the world, Satan's dominion, and under his control. And at some point in our life, we needed to make a choice. What are we going to do with Jesus? And you know all this. This is nothing new, but I think it's a reminder to us, as Annika went over to France, is we don't have to necessarily go to France. We need to start here. And we need to find, you as one person need to find one person. That's all. That's all I'm asking for in this message today. One person at a time. Don't blow the rooftops off and try to think you're going to save the whole town of Linden to the God. You know, you're going to bring them to the Lord. But is there one person in our sphere of influence? That's all I want us to think about. One opportunity. Don't overwhelm yourself. Find one. Be the one. Find the one. And believe in the power of the one. In Acts chapter 4, Peter said, in verses 10 and 12, again, familiar verses, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven where, given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And here's the thing. You have to decide what to do with Jesus Christ. For most of you, if not all of us, we have decided. But our destiny depends on that decision. Your destiny of judgment or salvation, damnation or deliverance, hell or heaven, if you want to say the lake of fire or heaven, the difference is the power of the gospel to save through Jesus Christ. Either you believe it or you don't. What will you do with Jesus? We sing that song. And the gospel, and I'm setting you up for something for my next point. Because the gospel delivered us from the clutches of the dominion of sin. The gospel has saved us. That's what it says here. It is the power of God unto salvation. It has delivered us from the enemy deceitful tactic of saying there is no other option to life. If you wake up tomorrow, and we'll all be blessed if we do wake up, by the way, tomorrow. It'll all be a mercy of God if you wake up tomorrow and I wake up. But if you do, those of us who have believed in Jesus Christ do not have to wake up tomorrow wondering, well, is my life complete? Is my life empty? Because it isn't. It's been filled because of the gospel. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. Because Jesus, through his blood, removed us from the slave market of sin. He transferred us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God did this. It's the power of the one, Jesus Christ, who saved us. So here's the first action point I want to tell you. My end of my first point is this. It does well for us to remember the power of the gospel in our life, and that should cause us to wake up every day looking for a witnessing opportunity. In other words, if you've been changed and you have the good news, you've accepted and believed the good news, shouldn't hide it. And I know we use this, we say that, but we need to do it more often. I need to do it more often. I need to be looking for more opportunities. And they're there. That's the first point. We have been saved. We must believe in this power of the gospel. I think there are a lot of Christians who know they're saved, but really don't live as if they're saved because they keep the good news quiet. And for the most part, I've been thinking about this. What are my opportunities that I have in my sphere? And what are the repercussions if I don't tell? I think, oh, you know, if I just been kind to people and gracious, that's not going to point them to heaven. Might point them to be a Christian being kind or Christians being kind. But ultimately, it's the gospel. It's not my kindness that's going to do anything for anybody. I can give them a calendar. I can give them a puzzle. I can give them a good deal on a print. I can invite them to my office to purchase things. There's all these different opportunities. What am I using? Am I making good use of them for eternity? Number two, if you believe in the power and you do want to do something with that power, not only has it changed our life, taken us from being dead in trespasses and sins, but because the mercy with which he loved us, he has saved us, he has given us life, he has quickened us, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we need to use that gospel power, that message, to reach one. So that's point number two. First of all, we believe in the power of the one, of Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us, which I think most of us do. And on the basis of what that's done for us, we take the power and the Holy Spirit and prayer, and we pray, God, give us an opportunity, and then we take advantage because God's going to give us the opportunity to reach just one person. That's my challenge. My challenge is I'll say a month. It should be every week or every day, I suppose. I'm just going to say a month. I'm going to challenge you, reach one person with the gospel in the month of November, or month of October, if we want to use the last. Find one new person. How do you do that? Lots of ways. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Matthew 28:18. If more of the church would be missionaries, and I know there's differences on what the term missionary means. But if more would be ones who desire to be witness and give the gospel, I don't know if we would need as many missionaries. Missionaries have become so narrow in definition that it's the Allardyces that are the missionaries. You know what? I got what that means. I got that they went to a foreign field. I got that. I understand that. Why aren't we missionaries? Why am I not? We are all missionaries. Amen. It is our job, Matthew 28. And I don't want to get off onto this finer points of Matthew 28. And, you know, there's one command there. I understand all of that in the Greek. But a missionary has become a job for a narrow group of people. And that is sad. It's very discouraging to think that it's just the job of either the leadership or these people that we pay and we send out. And yes, America, we have money to support. And missions has gone out. We're grateful for missions over the hundreds of years, from the days back when the Judson days and the Carey days and all of those things, and all the way through to the wonderful saints that were killed in Ecuador, and all of these things, the stories we can know. And we read the books, we know the stories. But friends, reading the books and reading the stories will not save anybody. It's not going to change anybody's life except the gospel. And it's our job, Matthew 28, to do this. Now, we don't save anyone. I don't save anyone. You won't save. Don't believe in me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're pointing everyone to. So, I think the reality remains that not nearly enough of us are fulfilling this task. At times, the idea of witnessing feels left to a select few people. The more people, though, that share the gospel, the more that will come to Christ. Now, again, I'm not saying we do it. We are the ones saving. And I'm looking at this, I suppose, from a human perspective. I know God knows all that are going to be saved. I know He knows everything. But how many lost opportunities have we had to give the gospel? How many lost opportunities have I missed? And again, maybe that person gets saved because someone else. I'm not worried about that thought. I'm thinking just about, we are called to do this. This is our mission. And every day that goes by is a lost opportunity. Again, not saying that someone else won't take up the, and that person will become a Christian elsewhere. But I believe the more that share the gospel, the more that would come to Christ in that sense. As more people come to Christ, the army of missionaries should be growing, right? I mean, I've heard in some of the Baptist circles, hundreds of people have been saved in some of these churches. Where are they? The churches are still about 30 people. That's another story for another day. But my point being is, if we're growing spiritually, part of it is growing in these opportunities of witnessing. And I'm just as much guilty as the next person. But I am trying, and with God's help, by asking God, give me boldness. And I know it's easier for some for others. I got that. But there's opportunities, and God answers that prayer. And that's what I told you the other day. It's not a chance encounter of a man at a gas station. And of course, most of you would not have talked to that person. I'm just that. That's my personality. I got that. But what common thing do you know about? I know about weather. Everybody talks about weather. Every one of you think about the weather every day. I know, subconsciously or consciously, you think about the weather because you ask yourself, what am I going to wear today? At least my wife does. My son writes me, texts me every day, is it going to rain? He's thinking about the weather. Now, it's become a joke. When it's sunny, he asks me. But the idea is, you guys, we all think about it. It's a common thing. For me, I know a little bit about the weather, so I can use that. Some of you may know about other things that I don't. Jeff knows about fishing. Is there fishing an opportunity to talk about people, about the gospel? Huh. Of course there is. Fishing for people. So recognize, I want you to tell you, we're commanded to witness. Jesus gave his disciples the command to teach all nations. If you would like to know what you're to teach, read the book of Acts. But I think we know what the gospel is because we've all been changed by it. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He took my place on the cross. So this is the missionary responsibility of the church, all of us. This is not just Annika's job to go to France. I mean, we prayed for her. Do you think if you put as much time praying for Annika that she would be an impact in France, that you would put into time that you would impact someone here, you think God would move? Something to consider. So it's not just enough to be grateful. We need to be grateful every day for our Savior and His salvation. We must declare what God has done for us to the next person as best we can. Now, are there people that we've tried and it's just a brick wall? Family members? Hello. Family members that we have witnessed to and they are just, they basically have told us, frankly, be quiet. And I want to hear one more word about the gospel. There's not much we can do with that witness effort there, other than pray. I don't know what else to do. Because I don't think we should physically tie them up and say, you got to believe. Or physically restrain them and say, you got to believe. That's not the way it works. But there are other opportunities. So in those, here's what I say. Action point number two for reaching one. Be the one. Reach the one. You believe in the power of the one. Find an opportunity. Speak to the person. Write a letter to somebody. Maybe you don't speak as well. Maybe you could write a card or a note and include a short gospel presentation, a couple of verses about somehow, maybe it's somebody sick and you don't know their spiritual condition, but you're say, I'm going to pray for you and Jesus has healed my life spiritually because he died for me. And he died for my sins and he died for your sins. You know, something simple. Give out a gospel booklet or a tract. We just ordered more, which is good. We ordered 100 bridge tracts a few months ago, and we're almost out. That means somebody's giving them out. Hopefully, you're not just taking them and hoarding them in your pockets, but you're actually going to use them at some point, but giving them out. So we need to order some more. It's good. Mm-hmm. Use them. The bridge tract. Get familiar with the bridge tract and understanding the simplicity of the gospel. Look at the pictures. It's really easy to use. So be familiar with that. If you have any time this week, which some of you do, some of us will need to make the time, find that. Find a way to serve others, opening the door to witnessing. Live a gospel-centered life that someone wants to ask about you, what's different? And then you got to tell them that's Jesus Christ. Okay, lastly today, and I can't belabor this point too long, because I want to go back to the theme for the year. And the theme on the front of the bulletin is be a light, use your light. And it was based off a couple sermons I preached at the beginning of the year. I know it's been 10 months ago, right? 10 months ago, almost to the day. I preached a couple of messages about being a light and using your light. And we're supposed to refer back to this more often than we do. And I thought, this is a good message. I think number three, benefit one so they can see the light. And then what I mean by that is, serve somebody who's an unbeliever. Find a way to serve somebody who's an unbeliever, because that's an open door to a testimony, to a witness. In other words, whatever's in your hand, serve God wholeheartedly with it. What's in my hand? Weather, photography. Do you know how many? I'm going to tell you today. You know how many open doors this has allowed me to talk about God? Way more than what I have inside this church. Now, my mission here is first is to be the pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. But I think the primary mission of the church is to teach others about from the Bible. I understand that. But I will say there has been more gospel witness outside of the church through things that I know. So what do you know? What do you know? What is your... Mr. Rasky is a science teacher, and he has some pins. And I think they are probably gospel tools that people would. What is that weird-looking thing on his lapel there? And I'm sure he doesn't wear a suit jacket every time to Woods Coffee. I know that. And he probably moves them and puts them on his shirt. But the idea is I'm thinking, because he's a science teacher, I've only met him a few times now. I mean, just getting to know him. He's been here in a few weeks. But I'm guessing he's able to use his science lessons to open up a chance for the gospel. It's, you say, well, I don't have any special thing. Yes, you do. Everybody does. God's given us special tasks. I'm not even just talking about spiritual gifts here. I'm just talking about general things that we've done with our life. Those are the open doors and opportunities. Hey, listen, Matthew 4:18, Peter and Andrew, what were they? Fishermen. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus used. And those fishermen, and I know they changed the world, but that was the use, that was the avenue. And you say, well, it's the smart people that can give the gospel. It's the outgoing. I'm telling you, Peter struggled with his words. He probably was outgoing, but he sure fumbled and mumbled and jumbled, and things were a mess, and he did some things that were upside down and wrong side up and all of that. And Andrew was different. We hardly know much about Andrew, but I think he was leading some people to Christ, inviting them. But Peter was the big mouth. Andrew was the quiet person, seems like, at least from what we can gather. But they both were able to use their talents, the gifts of being a fisherman. And there were others. You understand this. Listen, God uses ordinary people. And I want us to be encouraged by that. We lift up the Jim and the Elliots, and we lift up the famous missionaries and the books that we've read. They've all had books written about them. You know who's done more for Christ? It's people that haven't had books written about them. It's the people who are struggling. It's the people who don't have the big name. It's the ordinary or the small person, if I could use that term, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They are the ones that are behind the scenes. It's not the pastors. It's not the missionaries. And let me encourage you. I remember I heard Gary Anderson. He was the Baptist Mission president for many years. He's retired now. But I heard him at Northland speak at a missions conference. And I'll never forget the story he told me. They told in that conference. And that's the mission board that the people in Missionary Acres.
Tanners.
Are with. But he told a story about the mission work in Japan and about this missionary that he knew in Japan and who was there for years and years. And I don't have all the details, but you get the gist of this. And he just saw very little fruit. But ultimately, over time, there was one person, I think he was a doctor, like a dentist or something, who came to the Lord, and that man ended up leading 100 people to the Lord. It was something wow. Like that. You get the idea. And this man was, you know, for years there was no fruit, but he kept giving the gospel. He kept giving the gospel, and somebody finally came to the Lord, and then that person was able to, because he was Japanese, or he was familiar with it. You know, here's this American missionary or whatever, and he wasn't making any inroads. And I want to encourage you with this, and I don't, you can read through some of these notes. These are some repeats from what I pulled in the sermon earlier this year. God has a knack for taking our ordinary strength and abilities and molding them into usability for the kingdom. So what is needed from us? A willingness to be used and listen to God and obey and to follow. And if your idea of serving is to avoid opportunities to serve, that is counter to Jesus Christ's life on the earth. Let me say that again. If your idea of serving is to avoid opportunities to serve, that is counter to Jesus Christ's life on the earth. In other words, we've got to look for opportunities to serve. You might say, well, I'm too old. Or I'm too tired. Or I am retired. Or I'm too young. We have young people in here that are in CEF that are giving the gospel out. They're young. They're not very old. They don't know. They don't know like some of us know about the Bible. And maybe you might say, well, they're kind of naive. Just, they're ordinary people. You're young people. What about older? God uses us in this way. So don't close your eyes and heart to the world around you, because you will not be in the place of being used by God. But if you open your eyes and heart to the world and you pray, I'm serious that we need to pray for this. I think that's the reason we've seen several people through my parents, or through other, there have been more opportunities lately that I've heard about than in the last 6 months prior. And I think prayer. We've tried to expand the prayer service. I've tried to expand my prayer for people I'm praying for specifically. I think there's open doors. And they come because of prayer. I believe it. Do you? So God will use your talents. So I'm too old to have any talents. No, you're not. Pray for one. Be the one. Believe in the power of the one. Let me close with this action point here at the end of your notes. Not the last paragraph, the second to last paragraph. One of the most productive ways to share the gospel is by serving others through work, prayer, or time. So, maybe you know somebody in your complex or in your neighborhood that is sick. And you said, you know what? I can't do a whole lot, but I can bake. I can bake. German apple cake you made for me this week? I can make a German apple cake for this next door neighbor who's been sick. I don't know their spiritual condition, but I can at least open the door of avenue by bringing this nice little warm cake to them. That might open the door, and you might be able to say, "How I pray. Can I pray for you?" They might not understand what that means. Mm-hmm. They might think you're praying to Buddha when you know you're not. Mm-hmm. But it might open the door. There's one way. Somebody older, I'm picking on you only because you might feel like there's not a whole lot you can do, but you can. The amount of open doors to gospel witness is infinitely more than when we serve, when it becomes infinitely more when we find ways to serve the brokenhearted, the downcast, and the hurting. Because generally, you know what Jesus said? The physician comes to heal who? I'm paraphrasing. The sick. And he was talking about the Pharisees who didn't believe they needed a physician. You know who's probably going to become Christians in this society? It's not the people who think they have everything, right? Now, God still needs to reach them and wants to. I'm not saying that, but it's the sick. It's the hurt. That's right. And one of the things I want us to be reminded about is, I'm not sure if I don't believe that there's any revival left in the church in the condition it's in currently. God can change that. But I'm not sure that in the condition of the general church in America, if there's much revival hope for it at this moment. Having said that, we need to be looking for the ones here and there. It may not be a huge scale revival. Maybe there is. But at this moment, as it seems like times are changing, the world is getting more wicked, all of that, mm-hmm. We are looking for one person at a time. We're not going to have 60 new Christians come into this church. I mean, I suppose that's possible. We're looking for one. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. One. We're each looking for one opportunity. Now pray for one this week. That's what I'm asking that we all do. And so we have the answers. We've been changed by the power of the gospel. Living out the gospel, though, is not enough. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. And I don't think that's pastor like right here. But speaking the gospel of peace and bringing glad tidings of good things. You can't just live a life. Somebody's not going to be saved by just, you have to give, ultimately, speak it out. And maybe that is through a tract. But the gospel has to be presented at some point. So, conclusion. When was the last time you gave a gospel witness to someone? When was the last time? Be the one. Take one opportunity. Give one track. Start with one track. Serve one. That opens the door to the gospel witness. Be the one to show the sin-forgiving, life-changing, eternally impacting gospel message to someone. Let's pray.